You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 88 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel Noel Coordinates Manzano.
Fan who?
You probably don't recognize me with the red coordinate.
Tis I, William Hegwood.
Love it. So today we are building lists with Wave 2 stuff. Now you might be wondering why are you guys building lists? Because tomorrow, all right, so you guys know Thursday is the official release date for the Wave 2, the Resistance and the First Order. We have been given special permission to have the First Order and Resistance packs tomorrow early at our store, and we can stream them live for you guys at our league night. Now, I'm not the stuff's not allowed to leave the building till midnight, but we can have it on the table there and get you guys some wave two matches. So that should be a lot of fun. We do have a bit of a scheduling issue though. In my day job, I am a orchestra teacher, and tomorrow is my concert. But my concert's over at 7:30. So the plan is, after the concert, I'll drive over and we'll get that started. We might have games even earlier than that for you guys if people are brave enough to handle the streaming equipment. If not, we'll probably be starting our stream. And we're going all the way till midnight. We're going for the midnight release. We're going all the way. So we'll definitely still get you guys 2 to 3 games tomorrow night recorded. And if you can watch live, that's fantastic too. Should be pretty fun. So that's why we're going to go through lists. That way we can figure out some things to have ready to put on stream for y'all. Now, before we go too far, we do need to do our Patreon shout-outs. Thank you to our new patrons, Lauren Botner, Darren Weston, Andrew Bergerman, Noah Coleman, Matthew Lees, and Taylot Holman. Y'all are amazing, as well as every single one of our patrons. And patrons, you should have... So soon, if you're a $5 patron, if you're part of that squad leader level, you have your stuff has been in the mail for at least a week. So it should be getting there anytime now. The Aces level, I just dropped them in the mail today. That's the second wave of mailing. And then our the next one, the veterans, those will get dropped off late this week, and then after that, you know, we're rolling. So people, I can see in the chat, they're getting them, which is fantastic. Now, guys, listen. I've been getting emails saying, Dion, can you wait one more day to close the t-shirts? And I'm like, you know, I was supposed to be done today or yesterday. Okay, listen, I'm going to keep it open till the end of this live cast. Okay, so if you're watching or listening to this in the future, and you're like, dang it, I should have gotten my t-shirt or my hoodie. I've been telling you. So if you're watching live, okay, this is your last chance. Use the coupon code, last chance, you get 15% off, you get the pre-order price. Now, am I going to order extra shirts and have them on hand to buy? Yes. Will they be more expensive? Yes. That's just a fact. The pre-order pricing will not exist after today, okay? And I'm going to have to close it down and do all that stuff, get it ordered, and then I'll order the extras and have them on hand. But if you want the pre-order price, literally right now, so y'all watching live, this is your chance. All righty? Don't lose out. So, let's go ahead and we're going to get started here. And you know what? I totally forgot to share my screen with my castmates. Let me go ahead and do that now.
It is really helpful to keep.
Yeah. Pew, I'm switching back and forth between screens.
Sorry, guys. Alrighty.
You're not letting me be lazy. I want to be lazy.
Somebody in the chat said, Babadak asking, am I allowed to spoil the mystery card by talking about how cool it is? I mean, as a squad leader, it is your right to do whatever you want to. All right? You could say that it's cool and leave it at that if you want to be spoiler-free. I can't stop you. And Tret 4361. No, I do not have an extra oboe lying around. Let's continue on our merrily way. So we're going to be talking about some lists. All right. Some lists. We're going through these. Now, what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be switching screens here so that you guys see my secondary screen where we're going to be bringing these lists up into Yaz, because I think that is the best way really to display them rather than just in text. That way we can have it interactive. We can research and read what the things are, because I know I haven't committed all of them to memory yet. So let's go ahead and get started there. So we're going to switch screens here. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Okay, here we go. Boom. There it is. Ah, panic. It's different. Change is hard. All right. So let me go ahead. We're going to pull up the first list here. And again, these are kind of in a not a completely random order, but they're in the order I receive them, ish. We'll try to go back and forth between resistance and first order, and group some of the ones that are similar. So our first list here is brought to you by John Grimes, and real quick, Marcel and Will, would it be more helpful to see the list screen for you guys?
I started pulling up the list already.
Yeah, I pull up the list. Just okay. Keep if you want to keep yours. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
All right, cool. We'll just leave it there. All right. So, John Grimes, he gives us a two ship list that is all about the Kylo. He's got Kylo Ren with supernatural reflexes and prime thrusters at 102 points, and then Lieutenant Dormitz. He just loaded out here. Got advanced optics, Snoke, Phasma, and the bio hex crypt codes. Now let's talk about some of these cards. And as we, when they come back up, we won't repeat them. So make sure you're listening the first time. So Lieutenant Dormitz, we'll start there because it's obviously Kylo is your heavy lifter. You have Lieutenant Dormitz, which has a four dice gun on those Upsilon shuttles, but it's the, would you guys say that's the support ship in the build?
Definitely.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So advanced optics on this shuttle says when you perform an attack, you may spend one focus to change one of your blank results to hit results. So you're just trying to get some offensive consistency there. And then you got the 13-point Supreme Leader Snoke. You get one force during the system phase. You may choose any number of enemy ships beyond range one. If you do, spend that many force to flip each chosen ship's dial face up. I think, right, that is that's Kylo insurance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, helping him out with those supernatural reflexes, knowing exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm. What if I didn't have to guess? Then you got Phasma on that shuttle. At the end of the engagement phase, each enemy ship at range 0 to 1 that is not stressed gains one stress token. So, you know, I think the idea here is Dormitz is a threat outside of range 1 and inside, right? Because if you're locking down a ship with stress, Kylo is going to be able to take advantage, try to get around and get on the flank of a ship and keep it so that it can't get turned around. And then, of course, Snoke at the other side is just giving you this perfect information so that you can get Kylo where you need to. And then Kylo, if you're not familiar with the silencer, it's just extremely maneuverable, has supernatural reflexes, which allows you to do a boost or a barrel before you move. And unlike Vader, the silencer has both boost and barrel roll on its action bar, so there is no penalty for doing either of those actions before you you move. Any thoughts on this list? I forgot something. So this is at 185 points, yeah. And so they get 15-point bid for Kylo. Maybe that's a little deep. He is a initiative 5. And as for what are we doing with this list, I mean, I think if we get a couple with the same archetype, we can just do compare. This is the only one of these I've seen with, it's like Kylo and a shuttle. So if we want to tweak it a little bit, I'm down with that.
I like the archetype with just Kylo and the shuttle that has Supreme Leader Snoke in order to be able to, because since Kylo is Initiative 5, he's going to struggle against some of the main ones like Poe. Poe can put some damage on him with that double action. Wedge is always going to be able to put some damage on him, and so is Fenn. So I think, or even Quick Draw. So that Snoke becomes really important. However, I think Prime Thrusters really not necessary since the First Order already has a native auto thrusters, which is a barrel roll or boost after the first action. Yeah, you'll end up stressed, but that's 8 points that you'll be able to save. And also the advanced optics, I think, might be not entirely necessary in this case, especially when you're rolling four dice on a support ship. Personally, what I would love to see out of this is taking Lieutenant Dormitz and actually upgrading it to Lieutenant Tavson, which is the one that after you suffer a damage, you may spend one charge to perform an action. And that gives you two charges that are rechargeable, one recharges per turn, which means if you have multiple ships shooting at you, you can, if you coordinate it, you have no actions, you take the first damage, you can reinforce the front or the back, wherever you're going to get your next shot, or you can go ahead and jam somebody that's going to take a next shot against. So if somebody's going to shoot Kylo, you have multiple ships, some shooting at you, some shooting at Kylo, then you can coordinate something to Kylo as far as that, you know, when you take a damage, you can choose coordinate, you can choose jam, or you can reinforce, or you can just target lock in order to put some damage on the one that just shot you.
Do you think, though, maybe the reason for the advanced optics is to try to, like, so that I can jam or coordinate, and also, but you have to have a focus, right?
You have to have a focus, so you need a double action in order to do that.
Okay.
And the thing with Tavson, he's only 2 points more, and he basically gives you, and you can spend, there's nothing that doesn't allow you in the current rules that doesn't allow you to spend both actions. And if you, let's say you coordinate it and somebody's at range one and did some damage on you, there's nothing saying you can't spend both charges to get target lock focus. And just,
well, his ability says you may spend one charge.
Yeah, but I think it's a one charge for one action. It doesn't say you may only spend one charge, because that's the same thing that has happened when you may spend the focus to change a focus result, but you can spend multiple force to get multiple focuses converted. Same thing as, so I think at least my interpretation, there's going to be something that goes up to the judge, but you should be able to spend multiple based on that logic. The way I see it. The way if it works similar to force.
Well, if you took two damage in like one attack, yeah, I would think so.
I have a point for you about those
prime thrusters.
Yeah, I was just going to say the prime thrusters and also the advanced optics. I would just put it up to that other one, Tarvan or whatever he is, and put collision detector as a sensor upgrades to be able to get through rocks, especially on a ship that's a big ship, and it's probably going to be going over some debris, some rocks.
Will, go ahead.
Well, I think the interaction I'm seeing here with the prime thrusters and the bio hexacrypt codes was that you'd be able to Supreme Leader Snoke in the system phase, see what the enemy is doing, coordinate with bio hexacrypt codes from the Upsilon, but you'd coordinate, say, a focus, okay? Then you could prime thrusters off of that, or excuse me, not prime thrusters, auto thrusters off of the coordinated action, and then you would still be able to supernatural the other action. And then you would clear that with a green move and be able to take target lock. I believe, yeah, because that way you'd be able to take basically all four actions on Kylo with those prime thrusters.
Yeah, I think the prime, I think somebody in the chat says it very, really, really well. He says, you know, Kylo depends so much on repositioning and stress shutting him down, shutting down his options basically is a death sentence. So that prime thrusters is, I mean, I think out of the options for tech is the best for Kylo. I know it's 8 points, but
I think there's a reason it's 8 points now, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead. Let's move on to the next one, because we got a lot of lists to get through. You know what? I should get like a timer. We like 2 minutes or something like that per list.
All right. Got it.
Ready?
And maybe only one person and one rebuttal.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. I'll stay completely out of this one. Will you read this one? Here's the next.
Okay. This one is from Brendan. And this is a Major Striden Upsilon shuttle. Major Striden increases the range of effects out to range 3 for friendly effects like coordinate. He has General Hux on board, which says while you perform a white coordinate action, you may treat it as red. If you do, you can coordinate up to 2 additional ships of the same ship type. And each ship you coordinate must perform the same action, treating it as red. And also has the bio-hexacrypt codes, which I'm not sure how those interact, but I assume they would. Maybe not. But anyways, has a TIE foe in there, and Midnight with Juke. Midnight is the new Omega leader while you defend or perform an attack. If you have a lock on the enemy's ship, that ship's dice cannot be modified. This Midnight has Juke on him. And we also have Recoil, who I believe is a new TIE silencer.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, one real quick note. Juke and Midnight's ability no longer work together.
Yes. No, because nobody can modify those dice while they're target locked. So, but it's still not a bad combination for a foe. Let's see what Recoil's ability is. While you are stressed, is this TIE silencer, initiative 4. While you are stressed, you may treat enemy ships in your firing arc at range 0 to 1 as being in your bullseye. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack here. I do like the archetype here. The silencer, the foe, and the coordinating upsilon. But I think there's some problems here, because Hux doesn't work, Hux to work has to be all the same ship, and we have 3 different ships here. So I think that's the first to go. Juke and Midnight doesn't work.
All right. And as you're saying this, I'm editing it on the screen for the people, just so you know.
Oh, I'm not watching. Yeah, so let's. I like Striden. Biohex codes. It's so cheap that like I don't see why you wouldn't put this on there. And we got Midnight and Recoil, and we have 29 points left. Why don't we give Recoil some cool bullseye things? How about some proton rockets and some Predator? It still leaves us with 20 points. That's a lot of points. We need to put some more into Major Striden then. Why don't we put Supreme Leader Snoke and Kylo Ren? No, that's too much. I thought there was a special coordinating thing for the Upsilon. Other than Hux. Is it just Hux who helps coordinating?
There's a pilot ability.
Yeah. Petty officer? Nope. No, yeah. It's just Hux. But so, I mean, I think that's enough. We identified some of the issues there that are with the list. I think, like you said, Will, the archetype is cool. It just needs some tweaking.
Yeah, I think that Recoil is pretty cool, but you got to just him out on the board is not enough. You got to be able to get triggers for that bullseye, whether they're like Predator or Crackshot, things like that.
All right, so next one, Marcel, this one's going to be you.
Here we go. This one comes from John Grimes. It's a Chewbacca Veni Tali. And essentially it's a Chewbacca, the Resistance Chewbacca, who says, after a friendly ship at range 0 to 3 is destroyed, you may perform an action. Then you may perform a bonus attack. Great. And then Vinny is the Star Fortress, is the bomber, the resistance bomber. And he states, while you defend, if the attacker is in a friendly ship's rotating arc, you may add a focus result to your roll. So he's basically getting more defense. I mean, he's got him with Perceptive Copilot, basically re-rolling. And the great thing about the MG-400 is now that they have a two-directional turret. Mm-hmm. So they can shoot both ways with a two-dice turret, similar to like the Scum and Villainy YT-1300. But they also have a front arc with a three-die front arc. So they are the only ship, as far as I know at the moment, with three built-in arcs. Then you have the RZ-2 A-Wing, Talison Lintra, who her ability reads, while an enemy ship is in your bullseye firing arc, you may perform an attack. And performs an attack, you may spend one charge, rechargeable charge. If you do, the defender rolls one additional die. So basically, it's ultra defensive on some of the ships, and it's also... And he has Heroic on it, which is a new one that says, while you defend or perform an attack, if you have only a blank result, you have and have two or more results, you may re-roll number of your dice. So it's both offensive and defensive roll, basically prevents you from completely blanking out on offense or defense, giving you the ability to re-roll. On Chewbacca, he has the Ray Gunner, which adds a force and at 14 points, while you defend or perform an attack, if the enemy ship is in your rotating arc, you may spend a force to change one of your blank results to an evade or a hit. So that's actually a really strong ability. And then Trick Shot, which, you know, we know what Trick Shot is. Now, it comes in at 200 points. It's a heavy list. I mean, Chewbacca by himself, you know, any YT-1300 with 11... dice, with 11 total health, it's good having Ray there to add evades. It's ultra defensive for a list that has one ship that has only 4 health with good agility and two ships that have a lot of health with very little agility. I just think this list will struggle greatly to put out some damage, and I think what's going to hurt it the most is that Chewbacca, in order to really take advantage of Chewbacca, you want soft, smushy ships. You want ships that will essentially die. You don't want to make Chewbacca the number one target, and in this list, there's no reason why not to make Chewbacca the number one target, because the other two ships are really going to struggle to put some damage on or catch up to some of the faster ships. With Chewbacca, the beautiful thing about Chewbacca in 2.0 versus the Chewbacca from the original 1.0 is that now you get an action plus the attack. So that means that if you lose, if you come in and you let's say you do a target lock or you do a focus as your main action or whatever it is, after a friendly ship dies, you can essentially now you can take, you know, if you do a focus, then when somebody dies, you can target lock and then take a red rotate your arc and shoot. So even if you're not facing the direction that you need to be facing with your arc, you can still take a either focused or target locked shot after somebody dies. And if you're not within range, you can do like a focused target lock and then is it linked? They're not linked, right?
No, it doesn't have any links.
No, but either way, you can either rotate your arc or you can move your ship into like position if you're out of range. So there's things that you can do in order to take the shot even if you're not in the right position.
You know, just real quick, I wonder if this list is not so much rotating around Chewbacca. Maybe Chewbacca is just like the highest initiative 1300 they could put in there. I wonder if the idea behind this list when they were building it was more about Vinny. And then the fact that the 1300 and the A-Wing, both of their, and the Star Fortress, they all have turret arcs. So that ability is triggering when it's firing against all three ships in the list. I think maybe that was the idea, not necessarily Chewbacca's ability.
Even so, you're going to struggle to really catch up to ships. I mean, I agree.
I mean, I was just thinking about the maybe the idea behind it.
Yeah. The beautiful thing about the MG-100 is really the ability to put, it's got so much life in the ability to put that trajectory simulator and put some bombs on it and really use it what it's intended for. So I just think that while it's nice and it's fun, it's just going to really struggle to put any damage out. And it's going to lose against any really defensive or a lot of like swarms.
All right. So let's stay on the Chewbacca train, because we actually got a few Chewbacca lists. I'll go ahead and take the next one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll slide this over so that everybody can see. So here is maybe more of the traditional list that you're thinking about, Marcel. We have a resistant Chewbacca that's tricked out, starting with Trick Shot, Perceptive Co-Pilot for that double focus, shield upgrade to add an extra shield, Raise Millennium Falcon, which we haven't talked about yet, that's the title, and it says, if you have two or fewer stress tokens, you can execute a red Segnor's loop maneuvers and perform a boost and a rotate turret action even while you're stressed. So you do this loop and you're allowed to do the boost and that. But that also means that you get the stress, right? Because you're allowed to do it, but you're getting double stressed.
You're going to get double stressed.
Okay. So it's a risk. It's a risk. You can do it two times in a row. You can do it two times in a row total if you really need to. Well, that's a bit risky. And then pairing that up with three the Blue Squadron recruit A-wings. They're the cheapest ones, 35 points with homing missile. I think homing missiles go so well on this platform. Oh my goodness, so good. So if you're not familiar with homing missiles, you require a target lock, no range bonus on this, and it is range 2 to 3. And it says after you spend a charge, after you declare the defender. The defender may choose to either suffer a damage. If it does, skip the attack and defense steps, and the attack is treated as hitting. So basically, the defender chooses throw 4 dice at me or just take a damage. That's essentially what that does, and you have 2 charges. You can do that twice. So these A-Wings, they're a threat, and you want to kill them, but of course, you're going to end up triggering the Chewbacca trigger. Whether this Chewbacca, I'm wondering if that raised Millennium Falcon is really worth the, how many points is that?
Five points.
I mean, I guess that's not terrible. I wonder if you could
get the higher pilot skill. It's really just tally. Tally costs just 3 more points to get 4 more initiative. That math doesn't make any sense. and I think it's such an easy upgrade to just put tally in there.
Take one of them. One of the A-Wing turn into tally.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
Sure. I mean, even if you really wanted to, right? You could dump the Falcon title, and you could go to Zari, and Greer. No, you can't go to Greer. We can go to the green. You know, or maybe you stay at the lower initiative. You keep one as a blocker. And you can add a talent here. You can add heroic or trick shot.
Yeah, I like the idea of hot shot on Chewbacca since he's firing first in front of everyone. If you take out the title, it's just giving the A-Wings a little extra, not only defensive ability, but it's also giving them a little bit more offensive ability if they're taking just their primary shots, not homing missiles. However, for 35 points, I do like the Green Squadron experts, which are the ones that come in at initiative 3, and they just them with heroic. I think heroic on an A-Wing is really good because you're always going to be rolling at least 1 damage on attacks. And on defense, you're going to be guaranteed you're not going to blank out. So if you're taking your focuses, you're always going to at least evade one.
All right, here's the next one. This was from Joshua Steck. How did you pronounce Joshua's last name? Stechschlut?
Stechschulte.
Stechschulte, yeah. So he submitted a version of this as well. He's got the three blues with homing missile, but he kits out Chewbacca a little bit differently. You got trick shot, you still got perceptive co-pilot, and decides to go dead man switch and engine upgrade. Having the engine upgrade to be white, I mean, we know that a large base with boosts is really good, really maneuverable. I question, though, whether you should be using your actions. Well, I guess if an A-wing is going to be dying that turn, if you can boost into range and then, you know, you get an A-wing to die, and maybe you have a focus already, or you have an option to boost after an enemy ship has died, you get into range one, and you already have a focus, that could be pretty cool. So maybe I'm not questioning it. I take it back. I like that. I like the choice of engine upgrade. Leaves you with 1 point there. So just, you know, we got three different versions two different versions of this Chewbacca and friends here. I'm curious to see how this archetype does, because I know that in first edition, Chewbacca had a similar ability, but now he has that action part, and I wonder if that's going to take him over the top, at least take him into the more competitive realm. I know towards the end of first edition, that list started popping up a little bit more. People started giving it a chance, so I'm just curious to see what happens. All right, we'll go ahead and take the next one. This one is yours, Will.
All right, let's take a look at... This is one from Chance. And this looks like we got Kylo Ren with supernatural reflexes and prime thrusters. We have Quickdraw, who is... We haven't discussed yet, but very similar to first edition. Highest initiative at initiative 6. After you lose a shield, you may spend a charge. If you do, you may perform a bonus primary attack, and the charge recurs. So basically, once per round, you get you get a bonus primary attack. And this quick draw has advanced optics and special forces gunner. So with the special forces gunner on a TIE SF, says, while you perform a primary forward arc attack, if your turret arc is in your forward arc, you may roll one additional attack die. After you perform a forward attack and your turret is in your rear, you may perform a bonus turret attack. So, very similar as it used to be in first edition, you get 3 dice out the front, or you get 2 dice out the front, 2 dice out the back. Extremely worth it on quick draw, because that 3 dice gun twice is going to be really good. And this list is rounded out with the Knoll TIE foe. And it says, while you're not damaged, you may treat your initiative as 7. So this is really high pilot skill with Knoll and Quickdraw. And you have an in-game closer with Kylo Ren with supernatural and prime thrusters. This is very similar to, I think, what won Birmingham last year.
Yep.
It's almost identical to what won Birmingham system open last year.
Yeah, it's the same pilots. It's just obviously they can't have the same exact kit out because of the changes. But yeah, it's the same idea.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a proven list. It's got an 8-point bid right now, which I think would be the biggest question, because you have all the essentials, supernatural Kylo, special forces Quickdraw, and the Knoll in there. And you basically just need to figure out where you spend those remaining points. In this list, it's spent on prime thrusters and advanced optics. And Marcel, you've been liking the coordinating Knoll quite a bit with squad leader on it.
Yeah.
Would that be a decent fit in this list?
Yeah, I was looking at this list, and I think there's a couple different things you can do with it. I do like the coordinating. You know, you have an initiative 7 Knoll that can coordinate, and then with the FOs having such great greens, they can clear that stress pretty quickly. And I also, I'm really not a big fan at all of in any ship in any scenario of advanced optics. Just don't like that. That's a quick and easy swap, you know, 4 for 4 points there. And I actually am a big fan of putting either pattern analyzer with fire control system on quick draw with those 8 points, or taking those 8 points and putting advanced sensors on quick draw. Now that would round you off at 200 points, but against most lists, you know, at this point, the initiative bit is not as critical when you have an initiative 7 ship that can reposition you and give you that final say so on the ship that matters most.
Okay, so you're saying put squad leader on. I just want to make sure it all fits. So if you put
squad leader on null.
Yep, squad leader on null, pattern analyzer, fire control,
or event sensors. Either one, because they're both 8 points.
Yeah, and with that coordinate, not only can you quick draw can rotate their turret, yeah, accordingly, or you could boost and barrel roll Kylo in the same at the same time. Well, not at the same time, but
yeah. Well, yeah, you can link it
with your coordinating, which could get over that pilot skill hump. I mean, quick draw is already 6, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, because right now with Kylo, with this kind of list, you know, when you're facing the other type of Kylo lists that are coming out with just Kylo and a shuttle. I mean, right now in the Aces list, in the Aces League, you have, I think it's Andrew Bunn that's running a 174-point bid. So it's a 26-point bid on Kylo. I mean, instead of running the Kylo list, just say, you know, forget about the bid. Either put in Snoke to get that board intelligence, or put in that Initiative 7 coordinate. And
can I take a small detour? A small sure detour. Okay. So I have two detours. First, okay. I got a little bit of beef. I got a little bit of beef.
Okay.
A little bit of beef. Why was I not asked to play in the Aces League? Ricky White. Okay. Listen. Okay. I'm just saying that, you know, he had this whole like he's like, hey, Dion, I'm doing this Aces League. I'm like, oh, sweet. He told me about it. And say, hey, you want to like cover some games and stuff? Like, yeah, if I have time, that'd be cool. And I'm just waiting for him to be like, all right, hey, you want to play? I'm just sitting there. It's like I'm sitting on my porch waiting for my friends to come by. Nobody ever came. All alone. Anyway, after beef. That, beef. Love you, Ricky. Yes, I'll cover some of your games. But beef. Anyway, Kylo. Let's talk about Kylo. Oh, man. So, you know I love me some Kylo. If you don't know, if you're new to Gold Squadron, and I flew a ton of Kylo. I had, in first edition, I had over 100 games with that. You know, when people gave up on Kylo, I still was on the Kylo train. Got him into the cut at Adepticon. Nicholas Tobin crushed my dreams. And anyway, my fear with, I mean, we know that the reposition is really good. And there were many times where I had Kylo moving after other sixes. I'm going to tell you, my fear, though, is with the amount of bid that you have to really take if you want that, if people are really going for that, you know, this 15, 20, 20-point bid, there are a lot of lists, you know. If you're just looking at the Wave 2, maybe you're not too scared, but there are still some dangerous things in Rebels, in Empire and Scum that are going to give Kylo problems.
Oh yeah.
You know, so like while I'm a Kylo fanboy, I still worry about, like, I like the idea of the null squad leader. I like that better than going for a crazy bid personally. I haven't put it on the table. This is just my head sim right now. But I know that if you're going to be going for that bid at 5, you better be going deep. Real deep, because you're bidding against Boba Fett, right? In the hyperspace format, you're bidding against Luke Skywalker and other Kylos,
and you're bidding against
what else?
The Star Viper.
There you go, Guri. Well, wait, no, Guri is not in the hyperspace format.
Just no, hyperspace. you said an extended.
Oh, well, sorry,
an extended,
extended. You got Whisper and Guri. Anyway, let's move on. That's all the fives.
But
all the fives. Alrighty. Who's next? John, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. Is that John?
John Ben Young. Yep.
John Ben Young. Okay, we got the blackout recoil, and Null seems to be a very popular pilot, and not one Null have we seen with Squad Leader yet on there. But I think after this episode, and after some of the other lists that I put it on all my lists so far in the Aces, but I got to give it to Ricky because Ricky's the one that told me, like, hey, you should put Squad Leader on. No, I was like, oh.
Oh, wait. So he's actually in the chat. He's like, hey, this should have this. All right. So he actually said, he wants to add Squad Leader. And what else? He's saying
BioCrypt.
BioCrypt. Okay. So maybe
more BioCrypt. We're playing hyperspace. Okay.
Yeah. 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 That bio thing doesn't exist in anyway. So I'm looking at your list now, the way you have it. So the Squad Leader, the bio, which let's assume in hyper list won't be there. Now I like this list a lot with blackout, being able to hide behind the ships. I mean, being able to hide behind with trick shot and basically put out a ton of damage or potentially put out a ton of damage. Now one of the things that maybe I'm biased against prime thrusters and bias in favor of collision detector, but I think for blackout, collision detector is just so powerful because if you put debris out there and you bring your three debris, you can hide behind it and you can take your shot with the extra die and then the lessened agility on the defender and then fly right through it.
Marcel,
does that still work?
How are you getting collision detector on these silencers? They don't have a system slot anymore.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's gone.
Good. Good gracious.
So you could do something similar if you bring debris.
Pattern analyzer doesn't work because it's only red maneuvers. It's not when you get stress.
Right, but pattern or prime thrusters would still let you boost and barrel roll through debris,
though. I got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, I'll blame that one on. I'll find something to blame it on.
On right. Yourself.
Have you flown a silencer yet?
I have not.
There you go. You can blame it on that.
Yeah. I don't even think I flew a silencer in 1.0.
Sad.
I'm happy I didn't fly a silencer.
All right. Let me talk about this one a little bit. I like the idea here. I do find it interesting that there's actually quite a few of the FO lists that have Null popping up in there because we didn't see in first edition, we didn't see a ton of Epsilon Leader really at all. I think the Squad Leader, popping up is definitely probably the thing that is going to be making that ship pop up more. When it comes to the double silencers do have the key to my heart. I think we already identified the trick shot combo with Blackout's ability to be able to essentially lower the agility of an enemy ship. You get all those repositions. Cluster missiles, I guess, are just for gravy. There is a 7-point bid in here. You have the silencer at 5 and recoil. Blackout's at 5, recoil's at 4. I mean, what are you, the 7 points? I think you could flavor to taste here if you wanted to. Go ahead.
I'm putting proton rockets on that recoil.
There you go. That's what I'm like. You have some space. Why not go to the 200?
That's a shot right there.
Maybe the thought is having a bid there for the null, like the null bid. Might be the thought there. I think the proton rockets are nice though to have that just good punch five dice.
I think the proton rockets and dropping the cluster missiles.
Why not? I mean, you can have them both if you want to. You get 5 points back if you drop the cluster missiles.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, even though a lot of people are going to be shooting for those really strong bids, I think anything that you can get under 200 if you're in the 96, 97s, you're going to win a few of those bids because some people are having like, I don't have anything else to add, so I'll just leave it at 98.
And I think the cluster missile, the cluster missile call here, I actually do like it on Blackout because you have the potential for that second bonus attack, which means his ability could proc a second time against another enemy ship. I know I haven't seen cluster missiles go off too many times, the second attack, but there is some potential there. So cool list, John. We'll go ahead on to the next one.
I don't think I will say I don't think we covered this first order list.
Did you have missed one
in the Patreons? Yeah, it's
John Grimes.
Yeah, it's John Grimes' other list.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's start. My bad, missed it. Sorry, John. I think I just saw the name and went by. Go ahead, Will.
All right, so this one has Petty Officer Thenison in the Upsilon Shuttle. Thenison says here, during the activation or engagement phase, after a ship in your forward arc at range 0 to 2 gains a stress token, you may spend one charge that she gets one per round. If you do, that ship gains one tractor token. Love the control there. And it's topped off with Hexacrypt codes, General Hux for coordinating shenanigans. We have Muse, who is the FO pilot, that says at the start of the engagement phase, you may choose a friendly ship at range 0 to 1. If you do, that ship removes one stress token, which would be very good for that Upsilon, who's got a lot of red moves there. We also have Scorch in an FO. While you perform a primary attack, if you're not stressed, you may gain one stress token to roll one additional attack dice. Another self-stressor there. That would work great with Muse. And we have, to round off that, Quick Draw with the same advanced optics and special forces gunner. I like this. It's the same problem that I have with the other one of General Hux. General Hux is only going to work to coordinate both of the foes. And I'm not sure if that's worth it. I think you need to get all three ships the same to get the best use out of General Hux. But I can see the argument for it just being those two foes.
So, William, on those FOs, even though it's not the null that's been on every other list, at what point, because it says you may coordinate an action to these ships, and then they may do their action and treat it as a red action. Well, coordinate is a red action. So if you were to put the squad leader on one of them, they would be able to effectively pass that off to quick draw. And
they again, have I'm to not perform a, the same action though, and they both can't have squad.
Oh, they have to perform the same action.
But why do you coordinate and not coordinate though?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying if you can't reach quick draw, but yeah, I didn't see that you have to be the exact same action.
So what is nice about that is that if you do coordinate, say an invade to both of these foes, Muse is going to be able to use. I think I see the combination now. So when you do the General Hux to the foes, give them say evades. Muse can then clear the stress of Scorch to make sure that it rolls an additional attack dice. So you're looking at potentially focused target lock from both of the Typhos, and then you have a very strong focused up quick draw who's going to be pretty accurate with that advanced
optics. Yeah, but actually the foes aren't going to be stressed because they are he's at initiative one. He's coordinating them, getting them stressed early. And then they're clearing the stress in order to take their regular action because they move at 2 and 4.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, there's, I see a lot of potential here. You're going to, that petty officer is going to have a lot of things to coordinate. I really like her ability. I just wish that there is a way to get that to trigger, whether if that was like Phasma on the list or, any other way to potentially stress an enemy. Yeah. I think it's just Phasma though.
Yeah.
Which costs too much for this.
So list. I actually like this list. I think it's nice and simple and would be relatively effective. The only thing here for me, again, is just not a fan of advanced optics. If you're a 97, just go bump up to 98 and bump it up to a pattern analyzer and be able to do your Talon rolls and keep arc and still get an action.
All right, let's go to the next one.
All right.
We got a lot of lists to get through.
What's the next one?
All right, so we're going off of Facebook lists now. So next one is loaded up. Loading. So it is straight up five Green Squadron Expert A-Wings with heroic crack shot and advanced optics. Advanced optics, Marcel's favorite tech. I mean, it's just his absolute favorite. So in this list, I actually don't hate advanced optics because you do have only two dice. And, you know, if you get that double blank, but, you know, If you throw double blanks and then heroic fails you, you still have that opportunity to get at least one.
Yeah, I think the only time I like advanced optics is actually when you're really low initiative. So that way you had all the opportunities to spend your focus on defense before you have a chance to spend it on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the only place I like it. Which, these are initiative 3, so that's a candidate for it at least.
I wonder how much...
I think I would rather have homing missiles than those advanced optics on these guys, though.
Homing missiles, that's 4 die. Oh, that's that auto damage one.
Yeah, though.
I mean, yeah, that seems good.
You can even fit ion missiles on them. Mm-hmm. You got a little control in there. Damage and control.
Maybe mix it up. You know, because I understand the thought process behind having ships that all do the same thing, right? Like it makes it simple when you're setting up. You're like, all right, they're all the same. I can choose my approaches, but you have less tools, mind you. It makes different ships, like all your ships have the same value, not necessarily points, but strategically have the same value. But again, you're minimizing your amounts of tools. So I think what we're suggesting, right, is getting rid of these optics and get spice it up with some different missiles. We said, I mean, we had 4 points to mess with. We can go homing missiles on a couple of them. We can go ion missiles. And we have 6 left over. I mean, you can go another set of ions or homing.
See, I think I still want to just bump up. Compared to a green tally, cost 1 point.
Take one of them.
To get 2 more initiative on that.
Take tally, give her an ion too, and you're at 199. There you go. Or homing. Actually, I think I like homing better, but it doesn't matter. You have a lot of options. If you want to go, I mean, if we went all homing, you get 3 points. Could we take another one of these up? You can go to Zari. I don't even, what's it?
Okay, so go ahead, finish up.
Yeah, Zari's the one that you do not skip your perform action step after you execute a maneuver.
That would be pretty good with the other, and that one's still initiative 3 as well.
Yep.
So it flies good with the greens. I think that looks great.
So different idea there. I like the idea of the 5 A-Wings, though. That seems pretty cool.
All right. Well, let me take this next one.
You guys can't see, but Marcel just took our notes, separated, and he's like, I'm going to put a list here.
Take this list. I don't know where it's from, but take this list.
Okay, I'll break this one down. Okay, this is again 5 X-Wings. We have
A-Wings.
Well, yeah, from a certain point of view. anyways, it's 2 green squadrons, Tally, Zari, and Greer. Greer lets you rotate your mobile arc for free, and Zari is the still perform actions when you bump one. And all of them have heroic, and all of them have juke. Now, you can still evade and then boost or evade rotate because of the refined gyro stabilizers. But I just don't see the offensive punch on this. I understand the juke where you can modify their defense. I just don't.
Yeah, just to add to that a little bit, I've actually put the Rebel version of A-Wings with juke on there, just on the board, and two dice with juke, just believe it or not, they actually just wear down even high agility ships. They'll wear them down. Now, when you add heroic and you're going to be able to reroll in case you get double blanks and just you get some type of double, you know, mod on it. And then you have all these other passive abilities because three of them are named. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. They put out some damage because once they start eating through those focus tokens, it's unless you're dealing against something like Boba Fett, which I think it'll struggle against because Boba Fett, the extended version of Boba Fett, can have double calculate and focus. So it's just going to be able to eat through those jukes pretty calmly. But other than that, any ship, even like three agility Sunterfell or anything like that, if they're an arc, they're going to get chewed up.
Alrighty, let's move to the next list. This one is given to us by Anthony Marchand, and it is a double Star Fortress list. I mean, going all in on the Star Fortresses, taking Edon and Finch. You got Edon with, take a look at his ability. Edon says, after you fully execute a blue or white maneuver, so anything except the stop, hard ones, or three banks. If you have not dropped or launched a device this round, you may drop one device. So you have the genius ability, essentially, for however many bombs you got.
Oh, he's not bringing any bombs.
No, he does. He's got cotton net and proximity mines.
He's got mines, which are still devices.
Right, sorry, I said bombs. I forgot that they've just devices.
You may drop one device.
Yeah, so so he's got Connor Nets on there. So yeah, he's Miranda.
Yeah, he's dropping old school Connor Nets and proxy mines.
Yep. Yeah, so that dangerous there. Mind you, these things are a little bit sluggish and they have some limited maneuvers, but with the dial isn't the worst for being able to drop some bombs on you, especially if they can get a block, they kind of work together to block you up a little bit. So yeah, you got Perceptive Co-Pilot on there, Veteran Turret Gunner to get that little double tap action, left, right, or front, if you have it facing towards the front.
With the Veteran Turret Gunner, you can shoot the three dice primary out the front,
and then shoot
your two dice mobile.
Got it. So you're getting double shots no matter what, which also is on Finch Dallow. Also has the Veteran Turret Gunner. Finch's ability says, before you drop a bomb, you may place it in the area touching you instead. So this is your Crimson Specialist is what it was before, right?
Bob
is what people...
I don't know why.
Silly name. With Trajectory Simulator... Perceptive Co-Pilot, double focuses. You got the Veteran Turret Gunner, Proton Bomb, Seismic Charge. You got this double threat of having both the bombs and the mines together. It's a lot of health to chew through for both. 12, I remember in first edition being like, man, these things take forever to kill. And that was like all the mods. Like, they just would not die. But having only two ships worries me that, like, once you lose one of these, what does your end game look like?
Your end game is like, playing the clock.
No, it looks like Eden dropping proxy mines on you.
I don't know. I'm not convinced. It seems like a cool list. It seems like definitely fun to play. I just don't know if in a tournament setting, if this list has enough to go all the way. Just I feel that you could burn one down pretty quickly, and then you know, you clean up from there.
Yeah, I like this list actually. I think it's fun. I think it's fun. I think it'll work. The only thing I would change is on Eden, since you got 2 points and you really don't care about bids, just put skilled bomber on there so you can use the two range to drop that bomb a little bit further back if you need to. But other than that,
yeah, I think I would like. Oh no, because you can't run two sets of proxy mines. Everything's limited now.
Yep.
Never mind. I do like how this is really this list still shoots four times and mm-hmm. can launch bombs still. So its offense isn't that low. It's kind of a four ship build out there, it's just kind of condensed.
Yeah, it's like the old double ghosts. You know, you only have two ships, but they have a ton of health. Now these have a ton of health as well, not as much, but they got an agility, and they're shooting twice plus dropping bombs.
It's actually kind of reminds me of the weirdest Nim Miranda.
the next version.
Yeah. Let's move on quick before that comes back to all of us.
All right. So the next one is brought to us by Mason Turner. Who's up?
No.
Marcel?
All right, we'll go. All right, we've got a two-ship list from the Resistance. We've got Han Solo, who Han Solo's ability now at Initiative 6 says setup. You can be placed anywhere in the play area beyond range 3 of an enemy ship. Essentially the same as in version 1. He has Heroic, which we've talked about. He's got Ray Millennium Falcon, which gives you, again, the ability to either reposition or take Cygnus loops while stressed. Rose Tico, while you defend or perform an attack, you may spend one of your results to acquire a target lock. And Finn, which makes a whole lot of sense. Now, it makes a lot more sense, I think, with Ray, but so be it. Finn, because now you can roll. If you've got front arc, you can roll, use Finn to get that extra die, spend that extra die with Tico to get a target lock and still roll your initial three dice. So I think it's a good list. I think and then the other one is Chewbacca.
your other ship, just the other
one. Yeah, the other ship that's gonna be there. He's got tactical officer, so he can coordinate Rey. While you defend or perform an attack, we already talked about this one. You can, if you're in your mobile arc, you can spend a force charge to change it to a blank. I mean, to a blank to an evade or hit hull upgrade, and C-3PO, which gives you the coordinate and the
calculate.
There you go. And while you coordinate, you can choose friendly ships beyond range 2 if they have calculate on their action bar, which. And Solo does not have that, so that's just going to be sad. Anyway, I don't know. Fun list, nice. I think, you know, there's nothing completely wrong with it. I think I would probably just, if you can fit Rey in there, which doesn't look like Rey fits instead of Han, put it in there. The only thing that I would maybe change is just Heroic. I think Heroic's not a good call here because of...
I mean, you're paying so much for these mods, right? You've paid 19 points for practically a guaranteed target lock. And, you know, I haven't talked about
this. Let me ask a question here. Does the heroic count for on defense? When you add the Finn die on defense, does that count as two blanks if you roll one blank?
While you defend or perform attack, if you have only... yeah, because it doesn't say roll...
So that might be the reason for heroic. If you roll only one evade, I mean, if you roll only one blank, you get the Finn, and then you get to re-roll both again. So that might be the probability of rolling only one blank is much higher, so it might trigger more often.
Defensively.
Yeah.
Is Finn, so 19 points for Rose and Finn. I see the combo. I see what it does. Is a target lock worth 19 points? And I don't... And it has to be in your front arc, though, right? That's how it works.
And that's why the title's on there.
Right. So you're paying 5, 19, 24 points. I don't. That just seems like a lot. 12 first edition points.
Yeah, I would much rather, if you are going to run Rose and Finn, you might as well just put it on Rey. Yeah. And if you just take Rey off of Rey in the hole off of Chewbacca, you can upgrade Han
to Rey.
Yeah, easily. You can actually put an engine upgrade on her too then.
And like, sorry, I'm stuck on this Finn Rose thing. Like maybe the problem for me, like, Rose doesn't have any other conditions except for spending a result, right?
Yeah.
So maybe Rose by herself is okay. I see the allure to want to get both, but we'll have to see.
The bonus, though, to Rose, which is very specific, it says while you defend or perform an attack.
Right.
So if somebody shoots you, you can cancel an attack. Going back to that Han, I think the combo here is trying to trigger Han and Heroic on defense. Mm-hmm. And if Han rolls a focus result and he adds the Finn, he can't Heroic, then he can just spend Finn works on defense though too, right?
Yeah,
both of these does work on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the
engine there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be on defense, and then you can add the blank on offense.
Yeah, right, but at initiative 6, you're going to be attacking before you defend most of the time.
I agree. I think, for 19 points, it should generate a lot of target locks and a lot of extra hits, but it seems like a lot of work, though.
Yeah, and you got to keep arc, and yeah, just put it on Ray.
All right, cool. I mean, it seems like a cool list. I'd be curious to try it out. All righty, we'll flip back to the First Order. Got all these tabs open.
Yep, this is from Daniel. Daniel brings us a First Order list. He has 3 FOs and a TIE SF. We've got Midnight. Which we discussed before, they can't modify dice if you have them locked. Initiative 6. We have Quick Draw, which in this build doesn't have the gunner slot. So why don't we just add that on there? Special forces.
I will say, like, this list was like, these are the 3 pilots, the flavor to taste.
We're going to start with the special forces on Quick Draw for sure. Okay. Quick Draw shouldn't leave home without it. we have Null with Swarm Tactics, so trying to pass that 7 around. And we have a Commander Malarus. Yes. his ability says at the start of the engagement phase, you may spend a charge and gain 1 stress token. If you do, till the end of the round, while you defend or perform an attack, you may change all of your eyeballs to hits or crits. This is the Glitter Stem girl from the comics. So I assume we're trying to bump up that. So we're trying to have 2 sixes, and then we're trying to bump up the commander from 5 to 7 with that swarm tactics. And we have 26 points left.
26 Ooh. Points to play with.
I say we. Ooh, that's a tough call, actually.
Drop swarm tactics and just add another ship altogether.
For 20, you can't put a 29 point. Ooh, you can put a 29 ship. one ship on the board.
I'm telling you, just drop it and put another ship.
I'm down with that. Actually, that's not bad. Get a blocker, a little cadet out there to block. I mean, you already have 5 for the commander.
Yeah, you have 6, 6, 7, 5.
6, 6, 7, 5, 1.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and that one is going to take. It's going to take shots to get him. I mean, he's got 4 health with.
Oh, he's coming in there 5 forward blocking, coming right in there, leading the charge.
There you go.
Actually, that's not bad. That's exactly what I would do. Agreed.
Bam. Solved. Thank you, Daniel Carmichael, for that one. Next one is Garrett Gray. Similar to something we saw earlier, just without Null in there. You got Kylo Quick Draw, but this is just Kylo and Quick Draw and a 21-point bid. Looking at it, I mean, you got the decked out Kylo, you got Supernatural Reflexes, you got Prime Thrusters. Those are pretty much the things that you want to staple on the Kylo. Proton Torpedoes, because you have the slot. Quick Draw, Special Forces, like we already said, that's never leave home without it. Afterburners is an interesting choice on Quick Draw because it is not it's an additional action. You can get into some interesting positions there. When you need it at initiative 6, and you have a 21-point bid, most likely you are going to be able to make the other player first player. Fanatical, we haven't actually talked about Fanatical yet. So it says, while you perform an attack, if you are not shielded, you may change one of your focus results to hit results. So this is after Quick Draws, finish doing her ability, which is when you lose a shield, you spend the charge. You can perform the bonus attack. After she's lost all 3 of her shields, she still becomes an offensive threat with what she has left. Fire control system, I mean, is okay. I mean, you have the points, so you put it on there. But I'm not, maybe advanced. I mean, I know that, I mean, if you're trying to go deeper for the bid, I guess fire control system is the one you want. But it doesn't work. It doesn't have the same efficiency it did in first edition. So I just don't know how good it is.
Yeah, it's basically Predator.
But maybe on Quick Draw because she gets to shoot twice in a turn.
I think
we looked at Quick Draw a couple times now, and none of the other Quick Draws had a way to modify both of Quick Draw's shots.
Yeah.
And Fire Control System's the only way you're going to be able to do that. Is you reroll the first one, then spend the lock on the bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to put... what I would do here is, I understand Afterburners. I understand, you know, he's going for the bid. He's going a lot. If you're going for that high of a bid, advanced sensors and being able to reposition or being able to take that even if it's just a boost, I mean, even if it's just a barrel roll, and get the position that you want is important. You know, if you're going for that high of a bid and you really want to have full information, I just think Quick Draw without fire control system combined with pattern analyzer or without advanced sensors, those 8 points in my Quick Draw will always be like stapled on there. And for afterburners, it's 8 points. If you're going for you know, trying to get that strong bid, you can take 2 points off that bid by going with an extra shield and getting it down to, you know, 2 more points under with that extra shield. So I think there's ways to bump up to either get pattern analyzer, an extra shield. Fanatical, I don't think it's as important because by the time it starts to trigger, you're not getting that double shot anymore, so you're not going to get double use out of it. You're only going to get that one unless you're shooting out of the front and back. Mm. So I think that Fanatical works really well with the pilot skill 3 SFs because and without the just the pilot skill 3 SFs, the Omegas, mm-hmm. with Fanatical and no special forces gunner, just at 38 points, I think that works well for them.
Cool.
Because they're rolling 2 out of the front, 2 out of the back, and they can get, you know, multiple uses out of that Fanatical.
All righty, let's move on. We got Donald Williams out of Kentucky.
Is this back to me?
Yes.
All right. This is a foe swarm. We have 5 different foes. It looks like this list has a swarm tactics chain. So it starts with Null, initiative 7. You swarm tactics to the next one, Midnight. Midnight swarm tactics to Commander Malorus. You swarm tactics to Scourge, who is the additional die if you stress yourself. And then they swarm tactics to Longshot, who gets an additional die at range 3. Now, normally, I would say that the swarm tactics on Longshot here would be wasted. But because you're trying to fly a little bit looser, not everybody needs to be all within range 1 of each other.
Nope, you just need just to from be one. Able to create.
Yeah, exactly. You seem to be able to create that chain from null, bouncing it down the path to the last one. So it's a little bit of flexibility by keeping swarm tactics on Longshot there as well. Overall, not a bad list. I mean, that's going to be a pretty strong first attack. If you can get all 5 to shoot at initiative 7. And yeah, you got a couple extra dice there between Longshot and Scourge or Scorch. Sorry.
Yeah.
yeah, not bad. I mean, I'm afraid of this list might just the chain. Once the chain is broken, it might be hard to get it back together. And once Null is, actually.
So yeah, once Noel goes, then you go to Midnight and we're all 6s. Yep. Then once he's gone, then you go to Malrus and you're at 5s. Yep. And then you're at 4s and Longshot sitting there at a 3. I mean,
yeah, eventually comes down to Longshot's swarm tactics seeing Noel to make him from 0 to 3.
Yep.
Which would be pretty funny in the game like that. But yeah, very interesting. A lot of pilots go.
Alrighty, next one is Mark Myers. Now, we have not talked about the golden boy of the Resistance yet, Poe Dameron. Now, there has been a lot of debate on how to set this guy up. There's been a ton. We're going to talk about how Mark here has it done. So, he's got Poe Dameron with heroic BB-8 integrated S-foils, Black 1, and Prime Thrusters, paired with Lulu Lompar in the A-Wing, Tali in the A-Wing, and a green escort. They all have Trick Shot and Crack Shot at a total of 2 hundo points. So we'll start with the droid of choice. You got BB-8, which allows you, has 2 charges, and you're allowed to do a barrel roll or a boost by spending one of those charges after you execute a blue maneuver. Gives you some additional reposition before you move. It's just like supernatural reflexes. Essentially, you get to do that twice for a total of 8 points. So, I mean, I like it. My problem with it, though, is with Poe's ability, like, I don't know how you cannot put R4 Astromech on Poe. You know, with his ability, he's going to be stressed all the time. Like, that
because like supernatural is pretty good, Dion.
Right, I know that, but you only get to do it twice. But I guess, it makes me nervous. It just makes me nervous. I know, like, if BB-8 was like first edition BB-8, where you could do it every turn, I'd be so in. Oh my god, I think it'd be too good. Let's be honest, right? It's just. For these 8 points, you're going to have to really make sure that those charges matter.
Yeah, I will say the R4, it does only give you the hard 2, and they still have 1 forward and 1 bank, 2 forward, 2 bank, and a 3 forward green. So you have a lot of other options, plus boosting and barrel rolling in addition to that. So BB-8 is worth a lot of points, but that pre-maneuver boost, and in this one, he's got prime thrusters. So even if Poe is stressed from using his...
Good point.
Using his action last the round previously to take 2 actions, he's still going to be able to trigger BB-8 and prime thrusters to do that boost or barrel roll. How much more is a BB-8 than a regular BB Astro? 3 more points to get the option to boost, which is what I would be doing. Be boosting.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a big difference. I mean, if you put Supernatural on there, might as well go full out.
Yeah, I mean, I see it just makes me nervous. Like, I going from being so used to everybody having the option to do it every turn with Supernatural, if you can make those two turns matter, which with the amount of movement you can get out of Poe, with those with the Black One title, for instance, like if you can make it worth it.
I guess my response to this would be, think about playing against this Poe. As long as he has that Black One charge, that lets him slam for a disarm. As long as he's got a Black One charge and a BB-8 charge, you have no idea what that Poe is doing.
Where am I going to be? I don't even know yet.
Yeah, boost out 3 forward, slam 3 Talon roll, and then I guess why not Poe to barrel roll?
Yeah,
like you have no idea where that ship's gonna be or can be for that matter. So I think that's the benefit that you're getting outside of just the R4 Astromech, is that it's the unpredictability at any point in time.
All right, so let's talk about the pair up with the 3 A-wings. I mean, we've talked about A-wings quite a bit already. I think as a group, we believe that they're a good chassis, right? They're mm-hmm. a good chassis. They have a lot of good options. Are they big enough of a threat to keep heat off of Poe?
I don't think they're just going for like pot shots, right? They just come in for a couple of shots and then flip the arc to the back and peace out. This whole list feels very like hit and runny. Like it's not sticking around to fight.
No, the A-wings stick around pretty well, I think, with the arcs heading to the back. I like it. I think the pot shots actually work. The only part that again, just based on this list, I like heroic, so just maybe heroic over trick shot. But other than that, seems pretty solid.
All right. We'll move on. We have one of our close friends of the show, Lencho Rubio.
All right, I'll do Lencho, and then I got to run after this.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Lencho, my buddy. All right, let's see what he's got. He's got Boost Shenanigans is what he called it. He's got 3 T-70s. He's got Carrot. I don't even know these guys, so I'll be learning it as we go. Carrot-Con. Is that how you spell it? Carcoon. While you boost, you may use the hard one template instead of whatever you're using.
The return of Blue Ace.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's Blue Ace. And he's got Prime Thrusters, BB-8, and the integrated S-foil. So again, he's BB-8. He's got the BB-8, so he can boost and do a complete turn when he reveals a blue maneuver. Then he's got Hemen Wexley. After you fully execute a speed 2, 3, or 4 maneuver, you may perform a boost. And he's got Prime Thrusters on him in order to also be able to boost off the K-turn and off the Talon rolls as well. And he's got the BB on him as well, but the regular 5-point BB Astromech. And then the last one is LOTC. After you reveal a red Talon roll, if you have 2 or fewer stress tokens, you treat that maneuver as a white. And he opts out of Prime Thrusters here because he's already got kind of a native. Actually, he doesn't. After you reveal a red Talon roll.
Yeah, he's doing white Talon rolls.
Yeah, he's doing white Talon rolls, yeah. You may, and he's got outmaneuver on him just to put extra damage out, turns him essentially into a wedge. With an R4 Astromech, clearing stress a lot more. And he is at initiative 4, 4, and 5. You know, the T-70 is just overall, you know, with 4 health and 3 shields, 3 attack, 2. I think it's a really strong chassis. What? I think it's going to.
What is going on in the background over there?
Oh, that's my dog tippy tapping around.
Tippy tapping puppies. Okay, it's fine.
So yeah, I think it's a pretty solid list. I think it's the initiative ain't horrible. 5-4-4. I think it might struggle to put some damage out against three ships, you know, I think it's gonna, it's kind of like in that middle. It's kind of beefy. It puts out decent damage. It's got the ability to turn around and reposition a lot, so it's never really out of position. You know, I'll probably go back. I'll sound like a broken record here. Probably drop that out maneuver to put some other heroic, for example. And I like the heroic on the T-70 so much because they're rolling two greens. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how many times do you blank out with two greens? About half of the time. I mean, it happens. Yeah. So I think you get so much use out of heroic on T-70s defensively. So, you know, again, dropping that out maneuver, putting three heroics on there leaves you three points to just, I don't know what you can do with 3 points, but just save it for a bit, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, well, I know you got to get going. And actually, we need to wrap this up. We've gotten through about half of the list, half-ish, maybe a little over half. We did pretty good. And I think probably the plan is we'll revisit this because I think this is a really good exercise to do for ourselves and also just the community to be able to go through these. So I think we're going to come back next week and hit the rest of these. Or I see people in the chat going, no, don't stop. All right. Maybe we can go through the rest quickly.
I'm going to call out one of these, and I think it's, I'm going to call out Lee Robbins, XXAA all fives.
Go for it.
Yeah. I think, I like where this is heading.
I'll pull it up.
So he's got Eloatsi and, Nine Nub. In the T-70s, both with just heroic. Eloatsi can talon roll and make it white. Ninub has after you gain a stress token, if there's an enemy ship at range one, in your forward firing arc, you remove that stress. So both of them love talon rolling. Both of them have heroic. And you also have the Lula Lumpar. Who's the one of the Initiative 5 A-Wings, and Tale with also Heroic and Trick Shot. I like this list. Super simple. Everybody's got great pilot abilities, and everybody's got Heroic. So it should keep your offense and defense a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like a really cool list, and it is one of the more diverse lists that we've seen for the resistance.
Everybody's have super high pilot skill, and I think everybody's just so cheap. 57 for Elo, 40 for Luo, and 37 for Tali. Like those are some good price points. Even though they're fairly unequipped, I guess. They don't have very many upgrades.
Yeah. Nice. All right, I'm gonna head out of here, so thank you. Yeah. Y'all, everyone, and later, I guess. See you guys tomorrow. I'll be at the store tomorrow, so I'll see. So whoever's on stream, then if you guys are on stream tomorrow as well, or you guys are watching, I'll see you guys there.
Cool.
All right. See you myself
later.
Dion, I like how you put your picture. You put your picture in your picture now. Smart.
Like, wait a second, how do I do this? I have the technology. So super go ahead,
grab one more list out of there.
All right, so let's look at the archetypes here. We will have
we have
some Raypos, we got some more shuttles plus FOs, quick draw plus silencers. Let's see. What is this one? I don't want to say names.
A resistance list.
Okay, so this is similar archetypes. Actually, the one we literally are looking at right now: 2 A's, 2 X.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad combination, and people should start looking at 2 X, 2 A.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, tons of lists. If you're in chat right now, and you submitted a list, let me know, and I'll pull it up if you sent me the link, okay? But as we get ready to go here, I got one more.
One more that we haven't seen yet before. Okay, this is from Jefferson.
Okay. Ah. Okay.
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting archetype here. We have triple silencer. You don't get many points for upgrades when you do that.
No, but there are three beautiful ships on the board.
You own three of them, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. so this is pretty simple. They're taking the basically all the top pilots other than Kylo Ren. You have Blackout with Trick Shot. Super simple combination. Recoil with Predator, same thing. Just combining the talent slot with the ship ability, the pilot ability. And then you have the First Order test pilot with Fanatical. These silencers are actually, I haven't even thought about that because I'm too busy worried about Kylo in them. That actually, I think they're the perfect candidate for Fanatical. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, Fanatical seems really good. It seems right? really good. On this type of chassis, it seems like it actually could do something. Ah! Hopefully Will's okay. He didn't get just attacked by rabid animals.
My dog loves cats, and the cats are indifferent about my dog. So occasionally there's things like that. But yeah, I didn't even realize you could fit three decent silencers in a list. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Alrighty. So,
did anybody get back to you?
So here, real quick, I'll give you guys like 2 minutes. Okay, I'll give you guys 2 minutes, and I will stall out. If you could send me the Get Another Squad Builder 2.0 list through the Gold Squadron Podcast Messenger, I have it open right now. I'll click on it and I'll get it to you. Just real quick, we'll take three more lists. Three more. List.
Oh, just random list?
Just whatever they send us, man.
All right.
Whatever they send us.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. So this is their prize for showing up, you know? They showed up.
Yeah.
They're here in person. We got to give them a little bonus. Yeah,
I like the live shows.
Yeah. I think it gives that extra dynamic, okay? So opening up my Facebook. Yes, Facebook Messenger. Boom, boom. Oh, somebody sent me a picture. They just got their Gold Squadron podcast templates. All right, so I got Mark Myers just hit me up. All right, here we go. Loading, loading. Oh, what are you doing? Facebook is arguing with me. All right, here we go. So Mark sent us Poe with three A-wings, but a different loadout here, and using some of the different options that Poe has. So we have Poe Dameron. We'll start with the A-wings. A-wings are the same as what we had before. Okay, Lulo, Tali, Green, Trickshot, Crackshot. They sound good. The Poe is where the difference is. We have R4 Astromech. We got the integrated S foils, but now we have two cards that were not on the other one. We have this Ferrosphere Paint. After an enemy ship locks you, if you are not in the ship's bullseye, that ship gains one stress token. You know who doesn't want to play against this Poe? Kylo. Kylo's like, nah, I'm good. I don't want nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I think there's a reason all those Kylos had prime thrusters on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and
trying to be shooting some ferrosphere paint.
Yeah, so that this upgrade seems really good. There's very few upgrades out there that cause your opponents to be stressed. That, like, mind you, your opponent has to do a thing in order for this to happen. But I mean, it's definitely a deterrent against ships. Some people, they're in the chat here, say it's a literal kryptonite to redline.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me about the paint is that condition about the bullseye. And I think this is where it actually hurts Poe, is that because he's sitting out there at initiative six, you actually have an easier time lining up that bullseye for the target lock. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not easier. Let me rephrase that as, you know, after you move, if you have them in bullseye or not, when you take the target lock. So right. Maybe, I don't know. This is your, you're saying that this is your preferred loadout. You don't like the BB-8. You would rather have R4 paint.
Personally, yeah. And I like that he has a proton torpedo. You got that one time, that punch in there, especially if you have that opportunity with that black one. Mm-hmm. Being able to, if especially if you hold on to that proton torpedo and that slam to the end of the game, and you could just get yourself in a really funky spot with the slam, you get the proton torpedo off.
Oh yeah.
And you could just kill somebody right at the end of the game. Like that seems nasty. That proton torpedo can come out of nowhere. Hello, proton torpedo. So that seems really good. Mark, I like that. Let's see, we got a couple other ones in here. Alrighty. So we got a couple of top patrons in here, so we'll go ahead and finish out. We got three more after this one. So or three more including this one. So we got this one's from Nick Hartzell, giving
ooh,
us.
I like this.
Oh, okay. Okay. Three SFs. This is the first one we've seen with multiple SFs with special forces, which we talked about already. You get that third die out the front when you have the arc in the front. With a Starkiller base pilot, biohexacrypt codes. Man, and
we're just going to call it bio codes from now on.
Bio codes and General Hux. And this is the first one where we've seen Hux that has all three ships that can actually benefit from the ability.
Yeah, I like this quite a bit. What pilot school is those Zetas again?
Two.
Two? Okay, so the Starkiller base still moves first, still gives them all the focus for the stress, and then they clear it and can take a target lock.
Yep.
And then shoot three dice.
Truth.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I like it. It's simple and elegant.
Alrighty. And then Steven Downs here. We're getting some FO love here. We got Lieutenant Tavson. Have we talked about Lieutenant?
Yeah, Tavson's the take damage to give actions, or take damage to get actions. That's right.
Cool. Tavson loaded out. Here we got bio codes. I think we've all agreed that bio codes is really good. Yeah.
And why does it cost 1 point?
Well, I think it costs 1 point, and it's not legal for hyperspace, right?
So yeah, why not? No, yeah. So don't. Don't run it, people. I'm telling you. I mean, it's great, but don't get in, it's a crutch. It's a crutch.
but why not? It's practically free.
It is practically free.
Alrighty. So you got fire control system to get that consistent damage, especially like a ship like the Upsilon shuttle, because it's so beefy. I feel like fire control system is more worth it because you're around longer. You can make that, you get that value out of that, those rerolls over time. Captain Phasma, I'm just trying to remember what this does. Engagement, each enemy ship at range 0 to 1 that is not stressed, oops, gains 1 stress token. Okay, so more stressing. Yep. This is really good against things like when you're flying this Upsilon shuttle, you're not the most maneuverable ship. If you can keep people stressed and not able to K-turn behind you, or at least it takes a couple extra turns, you have an opportunity to get around. Heavy laser cannon, I mean, four dice is good, but are you going to be able
five
to...
Five dice?
Sorry, oh, is it five dice?
Oh. On an Upsilon it is. That's called... That's called linked battery. While you perform a cannon attack, roll one additional die.
Oh,
go ahead.
Sorry, I forgot about the ship ability. The ship ability.
Yeah, linked battery. Now, can you reasonably get a range 2 to 3 bullseye on your Upsilon?
You best try. I mean, if you If you're bringing it, you know, dice. It's an extra dice, which we know have a really high value. Oh, that seems gross. It seems really good. Well, you know what it is? It's a little bit of bait, though, don't you think? Because, mind you, if you get it off, you're going to wreck somebody's face. But your opponent has to pay attention to where that bullseye is going to be. Because if you just like, it's not going to happen, all of a sudden you got five dice pointed at your face, you're going to be sad. You're going to be real sad.
Yeah, it's definitely the deterrent. Like if Poe or Kylo or really one of those A-wings, pretty much anybody, if they end up and they're like, oh, shoot, I'm range three right in that bullseye, I need to leave. Like, I cannot sit here.
Nope.
So it does that at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Five dice. Okay. Then we got quick draw, which we know being able to attack twice a turn is good. We know that. With fanatical. For some modifications after you lose a shield. Again, fire control system. Pattern analyzer to be able to, while you fully execute a red maneuver, you may perform one action before the check difficulty step. Special forces, stapled. Electronic baffle, a little bit of forced ability. I know in first edition I was never a super fan of electronic baffle. I mean, what are your thoughts on electronic baffle?
Basically, it's this old. Oh man, what was the combo before? It was rage baffle in first edition. So, electronic baffle is basically a way to self damage your quick draw if you're stressed, and as this has pattern analyzer, probably doing red moves more often than not, and. It's, well, 2 points for baffle.
Yes, 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't need the bid, it's not a bad idea for quick draw. Is it a great idea? Maybe not. But with pattern analyzer and electronic baffle, you can just keep doing sloops back and forth until you run out of shields.
That's
you
true.
Be shooting twice per round each time you do that as well. So I think it's funny. I never thought Rage Baffle was the best quick draw in first edition. So it's interesting. I'll say that much. It's very interesting. This quick draw has a lot of mods, can self damage, can do a lot of red moves. It's a very versatile quick draw.
And then we have Midnight, the AKA Omega Leader, with Elusive. While you one charge, while you defend, you may spend one charge to reroll one defense dice, and pattern analyzer as well. I like the Elusive call. I think this is the best EPT I've seen on Midnight because you're locking down the offensive modifiers on an opponent's ship. You want to be able to help yourself somehow, give yourself the best chances of not taking damage, and Elusive is one way to do that. I actually really like that call of Elusive on there.
I like the pairing of Elusive and Pattern Analyzer and the green or the hard two blues of the FO. Mm-hmm. Means you're going to get a lot of actions and be able to. This whole list is just going to be a crazy K turn and all over the place.
Woo! Awesome. Super, super cool, Steven. And last but certainly not least, this is from Ryan Anderson. He says, please go over this one. I need help with building. So, all right. So he wants us to take this one apart. Okay. All right. Nobody else asked us to, but now this Ryan, sorry guys. Now Ryan asked us to. So Major Striden quick draw backdrops. We got double SF Upsilon. Alrighty. So we got hyperspace tracking on Major Striden. I guess we should start. What does Major Striden do? So Major Striden, while you coordinate or resolve an effect of one of your upgrades, you may treat friendly ships at range 2 to 3 as if they are range 1. So you have a massive bubble for your effects here. Hyperspace tracking says during setup, you can place at a 0 or a 6. And after setup, you assign a focus or an evade to a friendly ship at range 0 to 2. I think probably the value in that card is more just the setup, not necessarily the focus or evade to start off with, because you don't get to keep them. You don't have anything that lets you hold on to the tokens. And these guys aren't doing the whole like alpha strike, just trying to get into your face turn one anyway. And pattern analyzer, we know that's good, especially with all the reds on the Upsilon. What do you think about these SFs?
Well, let's take a look here. We got Quick Draw, both of them rocking Special Forces, Pattern Analyzer, and Fanatical. Let's see. I think. Did you mention that there's a Hux? Is that Hux alone?
Totally skipped. Yeah, Hux. There's a Hux, by the way.
Okay. So this round with Fanatical and Pan and Analyzer and Special Forces Gunner, we have Backdraft. We haven't talked about Backdraft yet. Backdraft did change a little bit if you're familiar with the first edition. Now it just says if the defender is in your rear arc, roll an additional die. So he's really taking the Special Forces Gunner for the double tap and not so much for the three dice front. And honestly, that's where I'd start. First thing I would do is I would take Special Forces Gunner off of Backdraft.
Okay.
And because I just don't think you need it. And I just don't think I would build Backdraft the same as Quick Draw. I think they're two completely different ships.
Okay, so you're thinking about taking Special Forces off of that. I guess the allure, right, is that you can get three out the front or the back, depending on where you're pointed. It's probably the reason why people might jump to that on Backdraft. What's maybe a better option, though? I think that's the part. Like, we have one, two, three. You got four options. Skilled Bombardier doesn't do anything. Hotshot Gunner fires, after Quick Draw already fires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just looks through them. And Backdraft, Backdraft's ability only works for primary attacks. I was about to slap a missile on the back of them.
I think if you don't have Special Forces, you don't have any gunner.
Yeah, I guess I will put the Special Forces back onto there. And
I think if you're keeping these three pilots, I don't know what you can change on here to make it better. I mean, maybe you play around with the EPTs, but I think they're good, honestly. Ryan, you put us in a pickle here. You put like I see
why he wants list building advice, because
it feels done, right?
Yeah, I can see what he's going for, and yeah, now that I'm like building Backdraft from scratch again, I don't mind. See, the only thing I just don't like is the pattern analyzer, to be honest with you. So I don't think he needs to be slooping, because he's got three dice at the front or back all the time.
Okay, fair. Okay, so we can save 5 points there. What could we do with that? We can get a fire control system on one of them. We can get a missile if we want it.
I'm gonna suggest that we drop that Fanatical to something that works in Backdraft's rear arc. I'm gonna go with Trick Shot. Which would leave us 5 points to put a shield upgrade on Quick Draw.
Well, we got 6 points. We got 6 points.
Oh, sorry. 6 points for the shield upgrade on Quick Draw.
Boom. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, because because Quick Draw is going to be like, in my opinion, your in-game threat. And sometimes in lists, your Quick Draw is going to be like your up close, like your tank, if you will. Mm-hmm. But because you have Major Strident and you have Backdraft here, I think you can actually hide Quick Draw in the back and save him for the in-game. Though you might not need Fanatical then if you have shield upgrade. What would be another 2 point? What about Debris Gambit for a quick draw? If he's getting those hooks coordinates for, say, focuses or target locks, it would free up his action for taking an evade once in a while. That would certainly keep him healthy.
That could I mean, Debris Gambit's not a bad idea, but it's a red evade. But I mean, you got rocks around and stuff.
Find some rocks.
Just find some.
Yeah, I think the problem, or maybe not problem, but
I like Fanatical for the end game. Like once her shields are gone, like once you start on quick draw, you're going to want to continue on quick draw. If you can get at least a turn or two of getting that to trigger, I think 2 points is value.
Okay.
Because at the cost, I mean, Debris Gambit, I think is cheeky. I think that could be cool. But if you're getting the coordinate Hux, does it require to be on your action bar?
No, but it just treats it as red, and they would both have to do the same action. So you'd have to put Debris Gambit on both.
Yeah, I think we leave it at Fanatical. I really like the change you made there. Getting the shield upgrade onto quick draw is huge. I think you get that extra attack. So that's what we do, Ryan. That's how we would tweak it just a little bit. There we go. So thank you to everybody who participated in submitting. They already have. Did they get evade on their action bar? Somebody's saying they already have evade.
Oh, they already have evade. Oh, man. Wrecked. What a world we live in.
First edition. Got us. All right. So we were fine.
Yeah, so,
we had it right the whole time.
There you go. So it should be pretty tanky then already. Sounds great.
All right. EZ. I spent the points for fun on Debris.
Yeah, just
because I could.
I didn't want to link to a road to it. I just wanted to take stress. That's the weird Debris Gambit baffle trick.
Yeah.
That's some deep level baffling.
Fantastic. That was great. I love going through lists. It's always fun. So now we're going to do our YouTube spotlight. If you haven't watched the simultaneous fire video, I highly suggest you watch it. A lot of good information there. Don't take your ships off the board too early. Find out how to do that. Watch the simultaneous fire video. Lord Vader asks, what have you done with those plans? Well, Lord Vader, we have lots of plans. January 6th is our Pastimes Comics and Games in Niles, Illinois, the home of Gold Squadron. That is our monthly event. If you're in the Chicagoland area, join us. If you're at home, you can watch us live on stream. That should be a lot of fun. The Outrider Cup is happening January 12th. And Will, do we think we're going to be able to make You Know What happen? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. That'd be cool.
Okay, so we may, if Will can find the will and the time, I'm playing at the event. And historically, I've never streamed Outrider because I'm always playing. And I feel bad because it's an awesome event and I'd like to cover it, but I also want to play at it. So Will was supposed to have a team and his guys are like, nah, I'm good.
I wanted a team, but it was too late.
It was too late. So, yeah. So Will may, hopefully, be coming out to Outrider Cup and be covering it for you guys. The Outrider event is really, really cool, and I'm going to do some planning there with getting the camera on the pairing process and all that, because if you haven't been a part of a team event, it is really, really, really fun. And then lastly, the Phoenix System Open is the next premier event in the United States that's happening. That's January 26th and the 27th. I'll be there covering the event, and super excited for that. All right, Will, any shout outs, anything to add before we close this out?
No. I am sad. I'll give a shout out to the Quad Cities guys. Normally every like big wave launch events. I always head down to the Quad Cities, hang out at Games Plus One for their kind of like small, I wouldn't say small, I meant to say like semi launch party. And mm-hmm. I'm gonna miss it this time. I got a friend's birthday, we're doing role playing and stuff. Dungeons and Dragons, no 50 Shades of Grey. That's not what I was referring to. But so yeah, just a big shout out to them. Save me some ships for Saturday. They're holding a launch tournament as well. So I think what do you think, Dion? Flip me the coin. Should I go First Order or Resistance?
Let's see if there a way.
That was figurative.
No, I have to figure it out. I mean, how about this? I'm probably gonna go First Order first. You should check out Resistance. That way, we can knowledgeably talk about both sides. How about that?
That's fair. I want to put one of those MG hundreds on the board. I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, the with the forward arc. It has all the things.
So yeah, that should be pretty fun. I'm excited for that very, very much so. New ships.
New ships are always good.
What's the opposite of a shout out?
Beef? The whisper in
negative whisper in shout out. I thought there was gonna be a third word to that that I realized, and then I got the joke.
So bad.
I'm gonna give out my whisper in to anybody in the UK who already has their ships. I've probably been playing with them all week.
Yeah.
You also get to play tomorrow with them. I'm so jealous of everybody.
Will just sitting at home. I'm salty. Salty Will with my beard. Well, yeah, that's super excited. And if you're just joining us, or maybe you missed this part, Wednesday, tomorrow, live, we're going to have Resistance First Order on the table for you. We got permission to crack some product open early and stream some of that. So should be awesome. You can watch our live X-Wing coverage, events, podcasts, all the things here on twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast. Don't forget to hit that the subscribe button every 30 days. If you got that Twitch Prime, it's literally free money. If you don't know how to set it up, you can contact me. We can get that going. They actually, as of yesterday, I noticed that they actually changed the way it's a little more hidden. It's harder to give away free money. It's a little bit harder. You got to go into some more menus. Cause my mom, I love my mama. She's in town and, she has Amazon Prime now. And I was like, hey, did you know that you could give Gold Squadron Podcast free money? She's like, oh, just do it. And I was like, oh, let me go through the process. Oh, this has changed. So if you need some help, let me know. I will help you out. YouTube, if you haven't hit subscribe button, hit the subscribe button. We're trying to get to 6,000 subscribers. We hit 5,000 last week, so that's super awesome. And lastly, if you want to support the show and become a part of the largest group of people who support us, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. You guys are the ones that make it happen. As I talked about earlier, I've been shipping out that swaggity swag, and it looks super awesome. If you got that mystery card, you know that's pretty sweet. And yeah, so thank you so much for joining us. For Will and Marcel, my name's Dion Morales. Gold Squadron, out.